Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prenzing Show. We have the Prenzing Show here every Wednesday, streaming from Colorado, 3:30 Mountain Standard Time. If you're looking at the time to call in to ask questions of any of my guests, and I've had guests of all kinds of disciplines and cultures and whatnot. United States, I would say, and Canada, but nobody from out of country yet. So today I have a guest who does some similar things as I do. And to those of you who know, again, it's the Prenzing Show, my last name. So my name is Marlene Prenzing. I am your host here every Wednesday. And I am the CEO and inventor of my business, kind of by accident, over time anyway. It wasn't on purpose. Well, it was on purpose, but you know how that goes. Roundabout way of purpose and coincidence and kind of thing like that, which that'll probably be part of our topic today. So my business is about body psychology, and it has an intuitive slant to it. As some of you know, I have both the ability of a clear audience, not like audience, like people clapping, but more like a clear auditory via the ear listening. So I do my work over the phone, and my guest today, Tracy Lee, also does her work by the phone, even more so perhaps than I do. She is a distance healer, or that does distance healing, far away kind of things. I'm kind of just a phone person because I have a visual acuity problem from a head injury. So I don't use Skype because it makes me want to throw up. But some people can use it. And Tracy is one of those people. She can help you over the phone, via text, I'm sure email, and also Skype. And again, we have some similar kinds of healings that we do, and I'm going to list a few that she does. Mine, of course, running a little different venue of body psychology. But hers is, I would say hers runs almost like energetic medicine of sorts, which a guest we had last week did some energy kind of medicine. So a few wonderful things that Tracy does, so we can talk about them and know if she can help you and if you would like to contact her. She does spiritual cleansing, has an ability to connect long distance and sort of identify and remedy viral and bacterial kinds of things. She does something very interesting. I think it's very interesting, and I also help people find their marketing niche and their business niche for helping people. She does what she calls no-touch massage, which I love. So we're going to have to get into that and see what that's about because, of course, she's doing it long distance and not touching, but perhaps you're feeling like you had a massage. So we'll see if that is indeed the case. She also does chakra alignment, orthopedic treatments, and a little bit of anxiety and stress management. And again, you can probably reach her from any place in the world these days. She is also dedicated to improving the physical, emotional, and spiritual lives of others, which, of course, I'm kind of in the same vein of things, but I love that she just puts it out there and says it so everybody knows. I think that's fabulous. And she does that by providing holistic alternatives to traditional medical practices. So without further ado, let's see what wonderful topics we can get out of Tracy today. So let's get our technicalities going here. See, I'm kind of computer retarded. Hold on one sec. Okay, are you there, Tracy?
I am here. How's it going?
All right. Well, welcome to the Prenzing Show.
Thank you. I am super excited to be here, and thank you for the kind introduction as well.
Yes. Now, I didn't mention the name of your business because I didn't want to screw it up like people screw up my last name and think I'm in the newspaper business by calling it the Prenzing Show. I'm gonna take a guess. Is it Zeta? No, I'm going to screw it up. It's either Zeta or Zeta. Which
Zeta.
One is it?
Zeta Line Healing.
Zeta. Zeta Line Healing. Okay, so that's the name of your business. So since I screwed it up so good, tell the listeners about where that name comes from, because it's obviously interesting.
Yes, it's a very interesting story. So in the very beginning stages of my awakening, I was doing a lot of automatic writing and journaling and channeling. And one of the names that always appeared in my journal on a nightly basis was the name Zeta Lines. And I was always thinking to myself, what in the world? Yes. And I was always thinking, I don't know who this is or what this is. I had Googled it on a couple of occasions to try to figure out what it meant. And but after a while, I realized that it was actually a name that my spirit guides had given to me. They named me Zeta Line. So that is why I named my business Zeta Line Healing. But I got some really cool validation on that about, it was only probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I stumbled across a Twitter post about Zeta energy. And basically, Zeta energy is basically a negatively charged energy inside the human body that's used for healing. And I had no idea about that when I chose the name. So when I read that post and I said, wow, that is so me and that's so relevant. It was just, you know how validation is when it comes. It just gives you a shiver all through your body. So it was kind of one of those moments.
But, yes. Confirmation and validation. We all kind of need that in the crazy world that we live in today. So
absolutely.
Just sort of, it almost, what is the origins? Do you know if it's Latin or, no, it's not. What is it? Is it Greek?
I think it's Greek. I think the word, I think Zeta is a Greek symbol. So I think it's a Greek origin, although my guides, I don't believe that they're Greek. I mean, my guides are extraterrestrial and ascended masters and spirits and all those types of spirit animals also. But I don't know how they chose that name, but now I know why it's relevant. So.
Well, I love that. And I wonder if there is a symbol, if perhaps that would be some kind of a logo to your business in the future.
It could be and it should be. And I'm always open to add new symbols or logos. I'm an open book for suggestions if anybody finds anything or has any other information to offer regarding the name, because it is definitely a name that I channeled over and over and over again. So I know that it belongs to me.
Yeah, I love that. Well, that's a good start because a lot of people don't know what to be guided by. And even if they are guided and get messages, they don't have what you described in my perception is a knowingness of this is mine, and there's no question, and it's an internal knowingness of you. So I love that because a lot of people and the listeners here kind of even need that kind of a thing. So let's even use that as a springboard to what you do long distance that might give people that kind of inner knowingness, like if you did do a long distance healing, what kind of shift might they experience so they get one of those, aha, that's what this is about kind of thing?
Well, that's really interesting that you ask it in that type of way because especially recently I've been having a lot of clients report that they have these weird aha moments while they're receiving healing from me. So even if I'm doing a no-touch massage or even if I'm doing like a nerve treatment or working on a sprained muscle or joint or whatever it might be, they have these like epiphanies while I'm working on them, like, oh my gosh, like I need to call my father or I need to apply for this job.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a weird thing that several different people have been reporting lately. So I think that's cool. But a lot of validation that people get, a lot of people report having feelings of tingling in their extremities, especially like the toes and the feet. Sometimes I get reports of like electrical shocks or, you know, kind of pulsating feelings throughout the body. So people who you would never would expect to believe in this type of thing will be like, I could not believe what I felt, but I felt it. And those testimonials are definitely there, out there for people to read for the non-believers.
Yeah. And I've had a lot of guests. I at one point thought I was sort of, I'm going to call it, that's my dog, making her squeaky toy. She wants to join in. That was a side segue. Maybe she's trying to tell us something.
Maybe,
you never know. I had a dog person on and she was trying to talk to the dog person on the phone. But I've had so many people on the show. In fact, here's what I was going to call myself. I was going to call myself a closet intuitive because it really kind of ran in the background and I never really said it. But in fact, it really is the reason that the business I do in helping people is successful. It's not because I'm educated, because I am. It's not because I know everything, because maybe I do. But do I know how to apply it? I don't know, really. You know, if I had to figure out what it was that I was doing, I don't think I could. So So it seems to be some
good
other
point.
Energy coming in, right? Right? Like you said, the spirit guides and the knowingness and people getting the aha and the epiphanies and all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
So,
and it's also about the the willingness to receive the message and the ability to be non-judgmental towards the message, because a lot of people will receive messages and then they'll say, that can't be right, or what does this mean, or it doesn't mean this, or it means that, when really it just is what it is. And once you develop that capacity to not judge the message and just to take it for what it is, that's when you really start to step into a higher plane, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I just had my last guest I had on the show just a couple days ago. You'll love this word. This is right in line with what she does long distance, and I've never heard this kind of description. She does vibrational upgrades.
I've never heard anything described as a vibrational upgrade. That's an interesting concept, though.
I love it. And she said it has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with who she is, of course, because if we're healers or we're channels of some kind, I think we all have come in with some kind of predisposed something that gives us this
Absolutely.
Whatever, right? She said it was that, but then she also mentioned what I thought is really interesting, which is she's saying that, and I've described this other ways, but she had these really good words. She described the time that we're in right now, the time, the era, the 2015, whatever this is in history, is one of the largest evolutionary leaps that history has made in sort of an exponential fashion. And then apparently that has something to do with, as we described, getting it together in a sense, you know, lining up your body, yourself, your energy and your whatnot, or else you get taken away by the floods and the fires and the terrible shit.
I tend to agree. I mean, I think that just like a lot of things that, you know, increased vibration and a lot of the access to these types of things is contagious. So the more people that are tapping into it and the more people that are doing it, the more people that become interested in it. And of course, an interest can lead to, you know, an increased access. So I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a collective consciousness or a new group think kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I think of that because one of the reasons I did this show was to do just the opposite of what it is that we get when we turn on the news these days.
I appreciate that. One thing that I would love to bring up on the air is that, and I'm not shy to talk about if you've seen any of my other interviews, is that my specialty and my passion is working with cancer patients.
Excellent.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, I've worked with several cancer patients, and just if there are any cancer patients out there, I do require that they do 6 intensive sessions in a row, back to back to back to back to back. I've had people go through 1, sometimes 2 kind of stents of these 6 session healings, and they go back and they have negative biopsies. It's by no means a guarantee that that can happen in every single case. But one thing I'm writing and researching about right now is the connection between spiritual and emotional issues, and then physical issues that end up manifesting as cancers in many cases. And the connections are startling when you begin to look into them. So, I know that scares a lot of people. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I think it's only if people have, I want to say, a fear of death in a sense, which is, it's an American cultural norm for people to have that, when in fact, we're all gonna,
right?
We're all gonna, you know, and how we do it is kind of a lot of our choice. You know, we're all gonna do it, and there's maybe a timeline that's set in our DNA. But I think, of course, we have the free will to decide how we're gonna do that. You know, is it gonna be nice or is it gonna be not nice?
Right. And people don't realize that the two main types of energy are fear and love. And so, everything that we have inside of us is one or the other. And I think Yoda said, you know, fear breeds anger and anger breeds hate. You know, what type of road you go down when you start using those emotions. But basically what happens, what I can see, and I have this very strange, what I call fifth dimensional vision. But what happens when people get cancer is cancer invades an emotional space in the body. And people get holes inside them, that these holes are created from like abuse or from emotional damage or from lack of spirituality in some senses, and the cancer spiritually invades these holes, and it creates this, I guess, genetic mutation that manifests as these cancer cells, what the doctors find. But I have an entirely different outlook on it when I look at a photograph or a person, and it's definitely my life's work and my mission to spread the truth about what cancer really is. So one case at a time. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I agree. I've been at several health fairs, and I'm thinking out of the box and at the other end of the box when I talk to the norm of people who are trying to raise money for people after they have cancer. And I'm like, well, that's kind of wasteful.
Right.
Right. I'm like, it's so strange to me, that sort of concept. Like, okay, they're so awful that we're going to raise money and create this movement in a sense about it. And I'm like, the one fact that I know, and I'm sure you've heard of, is if people who have cancer stop eating sugar, just normal white sugar, that apparently, and this is a scientific fact, that apparently 50% of the cancer cells die.
Yes, because the sugar does feed the cancer cells. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah,
and that's something that's been looked into by so many different holistic professionals, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I'm hoping we can start shifting the way that attention and attention, I would say, because I think the attention with cancer is in the wrong place.
It is absolutely in the wrong place, and people have been fed so many lies about what causes cancer, what doesn't cause cancer, and what has to be done to treat cancer, which, you know, in some cases is only chemotherapy, which is complete, you know, whatever nonsense.
Hogwash.
In my opinion.
It's hogwash.
Hogwash. And what's funny to me is everything either causes cancer or prevents it, and every 5 years it'll be switched from a, you know, preventative to a cause.
I like that.
It's so true.
That a lot. It cycles like that, right?
It does, you know. Oh, they'll do this. It prevents cancer. And then 5 years later, oh, my gosh, studies have found that it actually causes cancer. No, it prevents it. No, it causes it. So, you know, we're just stuck in this cycle of lies. And meanwhile, you know, we're fighting terrorism, but half a million people a year in the United States, already actually 500,000 deaths from cancer have happened in 2015.
Yeah.
So,
Right.
It's a lot more than 2,000 people that were killed in 9/11, which is a startling kind of comparison, because so much emphasis is placed on all, you know, the overseas and foreign policies and whatnot. But we're literally like, it's like mini genocide, the cancer scandal going on in this country.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We have our own thing right here that people are overlooking. I agree.
Absolutely.
So, I want to segue real quick to this love and fear thing. Would you say, this is my understanding of those words and those feelings and how those embed in what I might call somatic tissue or even spiritual cellular tissue, I think those are complete opposites and both of them can't coexist. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that on many levels. But just like, you know, just like light and dark that are, you know, they say that dark is only the absence of light, right? So I guess love is the absence. So I think that love would be the absence of fear. And so, you know, there's different shades of love, like there's different shades of dark, kind of like when the sun starts to come out, the sun isn't totally absent. So you can be, you know, completely absent of fear, you know, 80% absent of fear, 90% absent of fear, or only 10% absent. So I would definitely think that there would be, you know, a balance or different stages or different states of being for people in terms of love and fear, but I would definitely agree with you that they're opposite.
I'm going to see if I can get this phrase right, correct, at least for understanding. I think it's the man who is born blind doesn't know what lightness is because all he has seen is dark. Did I say that right? The man born blind has no... Right?
Yeah, that's such an interesting perspective and such an interesting kind of point to bring up. Cause, wow, that you could have an entire show just on that phrase.
because they really don't. You know, if they're born blind, they have no meaning of the word light because all they're doing is seeing dark, and they have no opposite factor to know better, Like, we feel sorry for the blind person who can't see, but they've never seen, so they have no idea.
Right. So they have this entirely different paradigm, right? So I think there's this story that people read about, like, this these blind people meet an elephant for the first time, and because they can't see an elephant, they have all these weird perceptions of what the elephant really is based on how it feels and what it smells like and what it sounds like. And I guess you can just imagine, like, you know, what a blind person would perceive, you know, being presented with, like, a dog for the first time, right? They might think that it's, like, some type of stuffed animal or you know, that it might smell in a certain way. But we learn, like, you know, by looking at these things, that they have different colors and that they have different aesthetic properties. And I think in for the blind person, that's really interesting that they don't experience light and dark. So I don't know what the appropriate words would be to use for someone who cannot see. I guess light and dark would be kind of out of the picture. No pun intended.
it reminds me of what we're trying to do, which is shift the thought process a bit and have people have exactly what you said, a little bit of a paradigm shift to what's going on and where the attention should be for benefit. Right. If it's at the fear, we're, you know, might as well pack it up. And if it's at the other place, we might have somewhere to go in a sense. Right.
Well, absolutely. And I think that people who are listening to this, if you are kind of a novice to the spiritual world and you're just kind of going through an awakening or the beginning stages of one, I think it's important that you consider that if you're receiving messages that are causing you to be scared, or if you're having experiences that make you feel scared, then you're probably not communicating with the right entities. So friendly spirits will not give you messages of fear. They'll give you messages of love. So if the message resonates love and it makes you feel good and it makes you feel optimistic and it gives you a feeling of hope, then that's how you know you're communicating with the right entity. But Don't always believe things that make you scared. There's always a different way that you can shift something, or the way you look at it or perceive it, so that fear is not involved, because fear is not always required.
Good. It's almost, I like that.
It's almost self-invoked sometimes. And I think that gets away from people. And I tell people, look, well, you know, if you're scared, remember, you know, I take people through a drill sometimes and I say, look, this is your three-dimensional body, right? You have complete control over what you do with it. You don't have to step out of it. You don't have to share it with anybody. You don't have to have a spiritual experience if you choose not to. So there's a lot of entities that, because they do not have a three-dimensional body, they try to scare people with a three-dimensional body into sharing it with them. It's important for people who are in the beginning stages of an awakening to remember that they do have control over their three-dimensional body. And that's kind of a good foundation to start you know, your multidimensional ascension with, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Oh, good. I like that. So speaking of messages, I think my life, and it sounds like yours, mine has always done this since I was a child. It's I have an experience and then I run into someone, or vice versa, or I dream and it happens, and it's kind of just kind of the daily kind of thing. So four messages, and I'm talking to you about cancer. One of my clients passed away from cancer yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So,
sorry.
I think it's interesting that I'm talking to you about it. She was already on this paradigm shift as even a patient of cancer. But my question is, I want to carry this one step even further, because people think that's the end. Well, and it looks like it is. But my question to you, and this is kind of like a Native American tribal belief system, is can you connect with her on the other side as a healing for someone who passed away from cancer, to then affect the seven generations that then will come from her lineage in the future?
That is such a wonderful question. And that's such a beautifully phrased question also. And the answer to that is yes.
Yay.
The answer to that is yes, because like I said, cancers invade the spirit entity that causes cancer invades a space. And so that space will continue to exist within the spirit until it is healed and filled with, as people call, love and light or positive energy, or however you choose to refer it. So yes, we can connect with that spirit, and we can heal, we can go back and heal whatever has caused those those spaces to be there, whether it's emotional or physical or psychological abuse or trauma or whatever it may be. And we can heal those issues so that when that that soul is reborn or re-enters, that it doesn't come with those holes already inside
yeah.
and so vulnerable to that cancer already. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, good, good, good. I think that's another way to think about it that people, I'm sure, are not until I said it, right?
That's a beautiful point. I love that. Nobody's ever asked me that, so kudos to you for asking, being the first person to ask.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I think out of the box a little bit.
I love that question. I think that's a beautiful consideration, and I've actually never offered that service, which would be connecting somebody who's passed. But I would love to, and it's completely possible, and it's something that's 100% feasible. Something I have done is I have connected with babies that are in the womb and healed them to make sure that they don't come into the earth with those spaces and voids. So that's something I've done, and so I've done it from that angle, but I've never done it from the person who's just crossed over. So that's a cool idea.
Okay, good. Because I just felt like something. This woman was, like I said, she was already on it. She was already on the shift of the paradigm, and I feel like she passed away early, in a sense, because she was a teaching soul and had some other things to spread messages, which then, of course, made me think, well, one of her messages is, of course, to have someone else down her lineage, her daughter and her daughter's daughter, et cetera, that they would be cleared of this kind of thing. So that's kind of the part of the thought process that went along with that wild, out-of-the-box question. One more message question I have for you, and then I want to make sure we get your contact information to the listeners. So while this has been going on and since the beginning of our time here on the show with you, I have gotten, speaking of channeling, because I get messages as well, and I keep looking at the Zeta like a Z, like a Z, like zebra, like my name, Prinzing with a Z, and it keeps flipping in my mind. And, of course, I was already at the beginning intrigued by it, and it does seem to have several qualities to it. It flips around, the Z does, to me, for you, both in an N like Nancy and even a little bit different like a W for Wendy. So I just want to ask you for ticks, and then we'll see if something comes up for you later. I'm getting a message that Nancy and Wendy are important to you in regards
to
the business.
The actual name, Nancy and Wendy?
Yes, like they're real people. Yeah,
oh my
real
goodness.
People.
Okay, so I don't want to forego client confidentiality here because that's something that's very important to me. So I'm not going to tell you which one of those names it is, but I can tell you that one of those names is a client that I've been working with who has an upcoming biopsy in November, and we are very confident that things are going to turn out well. So hopefully that this is a sign that that person will be healed. I think that it is, hopefully. And I cannot believe that you came up with that name. That is just absolutely phenomenal. I'm over the moon impressed. Wow.
Well, I almost introduced you as Nancy Lee or Wendy Lee, and I thought, okay, I'm losing my mind. But then I waited for it to get a little more clear, and it does happen to be someone you just need to pay attention to because the message from them is more important than you know it is. So just keep paying attention is what I get. So with that, go ahead and give – I've got ZetaHealing.com. Is that your website?
So it's ZetaLineHealing.com. So ZetaLine. I have done remarkable job of my of my web presence. So if you can remember the name ZetaLine, and you just type it into Google, you'll find my Facebook page, my LinkedIn page, my website, my Twitter account, my Google Plus page, my digital business card, and my phone number and reviews and everything else that you might want to find. So as long as you can remember the name Zeta Line Healing, all one word, Zeta Line, you can find me. And I do super cheap consultations. We can talk on Skype, $30 for 30 minutes. And we can do intuitive medical scan, and we can set up a plan. Every case is different, but Like I say on my website, there is no case that I'll turn down as long as you're willing to put in the work, and there's no condition that I won't consider, and no distance is too far.
Okay. Thanks for being on, and I hope lots of people contact you, and we'll be in touch through whatever means.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.